It's radical, irrational hospitality, Monica. It just took a while to be able to get that out, doesn't it? Yeah, well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Christ Church. So glad you're here today. You'll want to pull out your Christ Church notes. They're there in your worship program. You'll also want to find a pen or a pencil on the seat back in front of you. There are several things I'm going to ask you to be writing down today as we begin a brand new worship series today. You know, I hope you had a great Mother's Day. I hope y'all had a great Mother's Day last weekend. Rosemary and I were not with you last weekend. We were down in Norfolk celebrating our daughter's Taylor's graduation from Old Dominion University, and it was an exciting weekend for the Spate family, I can promise you that. You know, for Rosemary and I, it's one down and one to go. One down and one to go. And somebody asked Rosemary just this week, did you have a good Mother's Day? And she said, watching Taylor cross that stage was the best Mother's Day I've ever had. And you know what? I've already had the best Father's Day anybody could have because my daughter's got a job. So I'm kind of doing... So it's a good deal for us, Spade. So, but anyway, today is baptism weekend here at Christ Church, and it's a great time to be together, to watch what God is doing in our midst. You know, I say all the time, you know, we are a part of a very blessed church because we get to see with regularity the transformation of lives. We get to see people who are going from where they were to where they are now in Christ. We get to see lives changed. We see the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people as they are transformed and renewed by the power of God. I mean, we get to see this right in front of our eyes on a regular basis, and I'm just blessed to be the pastor of a church like this. Well, today we're beginning a brand new sermon series, brand new teaching series called Important Things to Know About God. Important things to know about God. That's what we're doing at beginning today. And I thought, well, you know, as baptism, with baptism weekend, and we've had about 20 adults who joined the church this week, became official part of our church family. We'll introduce them at the end of the service today. But with the professions of faith there, with baptisms and so forth, I thought, what best place to start when we want to know what is important to know about God is this one thing. I think the most important thing we can know about God is this, that God loves you. That God loves you beyond anything you can ever imagine, beyond anything you can think of, beyond any dream you can have. God loves you. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what your circumstances are, God loves you. Now, what better place to start, you know, from a scriptural point of view, when you're talking about how much God loves us, than John 3:16. Right? John 3:16. You know, it's often called at least I often call it the football verse, because I mean, you can't go to watch the Redskins play or to see any NFL game on TV without seeing somebody with a bed sheet, you know, that's hung it over the rails that say John 3:16. You'll always see it on camera, and you'll see it even at the Redskins games as well. And so John 3:16, what's it say? It says this right here. Matter of fact, why don't we read it together? It says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." You know, that verse right there, John 3:16, is just one sentence. It just contains 24 words in one sentence. And guess what? In those 24 words contains the very heart of God. Right there. We get a window into the heart of God, the very heart of God, right in that one sentence right there. It's an amazing verse. And in fact, we're going to find 7 truths right there in that verse right there. Matter of fact, this is going to be the first time in my life that I will have ever preached an entire sermon using one verse of Scripture. Just one. There's not another verse of Scripture in the whole message today, not one in the whole teaching, except this. this, John 3:16, seven truths. Here we go. Get ready to write because we're moving through it. Number one, here it is, and that is God's love for you is unconditional. God's love for you is unconditional. This is in the we're looking in the very heart of God, a window, a glimpse into God's very heart, and he's telling us that in this sentence that God's love for you is unconditional. Unconditional. In fact, it says this, here's the first start. Let's read. It says, "For God so loved who? The world." The world. He loves all of us. Didn't just say God loves good guys. He didn't just say that God loves the Jews or God loves the Christians, but he says right here that God loves the whole wide world. And frankly, I got to tell you, just a little bit of honest confession here. It's hard for me, I think, to wrap my mind around that. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that because I don't know about you, but, you know, there are some people that I find very difficult to love. You know, there are some folks that I find very, very, very hard to love, you know, and so it's probably a good thing that I'm not God. But, you know, here, you don't get off the hook either. I'm glad you're not God, you know, because here's the reason why is because your love and my love is most often, guess what, based on our behavior, a set of behaviors. You know, we tend to love the people who love us. We tend to love the people who treat us right. We tend to love people based on their behavior. Our love tends to be conditional, but not so with God. God's love is different. In fact, God's love for you is not based on your behavior. God's love for you is not based on your attitude. God, listen to this. God's love for you is not even based on your spiritual condition. For God loves you, and his love for you is so unconditional that it's absolutely universal. The love of God is universal for the entire world, not based on your attitude or even your spiritual condition or your behavior. And this is one thing, I want you to hear me say it, this is one of the things that separates or sets apart our God from any other God in any other religion in the world. Because only Christians claim that the love of God is unconditional. In fact, you know what we call it? God's unconditional love is called right here. Go ahead and put it up. It's called grace. God's unconditional love is called grace. And grace has practically nothing to do with you, has nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do with God. And his willingness to freely offer us the gifts of forgiveness and offer us his mercy and pour down and rain down on us the gift of his grace and his love. So God's love for us is unconditional. Matter of fact, I think Philip Yancey said it best when he said this. He said, this takes some thinking to wrap your mind around this as well. There is nothing you can do to make God love you more than he loves you right now. And there is nothing you can do to make God love you less than he loves you right now. Because his love for you is complete. It's unconditional. All right. So God's love for you is unconditional. Number two, God's love for you is sacrificial. God's love for you is sacrificial. In fact, here's the scripture. For God so loved the world, now let's read, that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. Now, how did he love us? He loved us by giving. He loved us by serving. He loved us by sacrificing. In fact, here in this, we can really see the true nature of true love, the genuine nature of true love. Many of us, as I said before, will love other people based on their behavior or what they can do for us or what we can get from them. But what this is telling us is that true love, genuine, unconditional love, is not based on that. And this is the way that God loves us, that God's love has nothing to do with what we can do for him, but everything to do with what he does for us, what he does for us. In fact, let me give you a quick example of what I'm talking about right here. You know, if you're a typical American family, do we have any typical American families in here? Yeah? Okay. Well, if you're a typical American family, then you're in debt, all right? That's just the reality of the situation. I mean, the typical American family's in debt. We either have a mortgage, or we have a car loan, or maybe you're still paying on your student loans, or even credit card debt. In fact, just 2 days ago, I saw the latest data that came out that says the average American family has just under $16,000 of credit card debt alone. Well, can you imagine with me that you got a call from your bank saying that there was someone who paid off every cent you owned, that you're no longer in debt, that your home has been paid for, your mortgage is paid for, your car loans are paid for, your school debt's paid for, your credit cards are paid for, you are completely, totally, utterly debt-free. If you can imagine that, let me tell you, I tell you what, I'd be doing a happy dance, you know, if that happened to me. But the reality is, here's the thing. That's, in a sense, that's kind of like what Jesus has already done for you. That when you have a relationship with him, it's like, you know, did anybody have an Etch-a-Sketch growing up? Yeah? All right. You know what they are, right? Okay. Well, imagine that all your debts were on the Etch-a-Sketch. You know, that God was keeping all the track of your sins and faults and failures and mistakes and errors and all that stuff on this big Etch-a-Sketch in the sky, you know. And the moment you said yes to Jesus, you know what he did? He took that Etch-a-Sketch with your name on it and all your debt and went, choo, 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 choo. And then he looks down on it and what? It's blank. It's free. It's clean. The slate has been wiped clean. That is the kind of sacrifice that God has made for you. God's love for you is not only unconditional, but it's sacrificial. All right, what else do we learn from the scripture? Is that God's love for you is valuable. God's love for you is valuable. Check the scripture out. It's right here. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave what? His one and only. Okay, his one and only. This is showing us the real value of God's love for you. You know, because he was willing to give us his one and only. That is, he gave us all that he had. You know, if you were to give out of your abundance, that's one thing. But if you give out of, give sacrificially, that's something totally different. Let me give you an example. Let's say you had several cars in your family, and you had one that was an extra one, and there was someone you knew, a family you knew, that didn't have a vehicle. And they needed a vehicle. They couldn't afford the vehicle. And you gave them one of your cars. That would be a noble thing to do. But let's say you only had one car, and still that family needed a car, and you gave them your one and only vehicle. Let me tell you, that's sacrificial giving. That's valuable. You see the value in that right there. You know, I mean, how many times have you ever said to yourself, or maybe you've heard someone say, well, I can't give you this because it's the only one I've got. You know, you may say that, you may have heard other people say that, but what we learn in this scripture right here, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, is that God didn't have a backup. When God gave, he didn't have a spare. When God gave, he gave everything he had. He was willing to give us his one and only. All right, so God's love for you is unconditional. God's love for you is sacrificial. God's love for you is valuable. And now, God's love for you is personal. God's love for you is personal. It's personal. In fact, here's what we see in the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, what? Son. He gave his one and only son. You know, what this tells me right here is that God's love for you and for me is not just some abstract concept. It's not some theological or philosophical construct. But God's love was made personal to you through his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God revealed himself to us in human form through Jesus. Personal. God came to earth. In fact, I love the way Max Lucado, if any of you ever read any of Max Lucado's stuff, it is absolutely fantastic. Here's what he wrote. He said this: there are many reasons God saved you. To bring glory to himself, to appease his justice, to demonstrate his sovereignty. But one of the sweetest reasons God saved you is because he's fond of you. I like the way he said it. He's fond of you. He likes having you around. He thinks you're the best thing to come down the pike in quite a while. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every springtime and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, God will listen. He can live anywhere in the universe, and get this, yet he chooses to live in your heart. Pretty cool, huh? And then he ends this paragraph with this. He says, face it, friends, he's crazy about you. I love it. I love it. God's love for you is unconditional. God's love for you is sacrificial. God's love for you is valuable. And God's love for you is what? Personal. Yeah, personal. Let's check out the next one. Number five, God's love for you is accessible. God's love for you is accessible. In fact, it says this in the scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Now let's read, that whoever believes in him. Okay, what is this truth right here? Here's the really good news of God's love. This tells us right here that God's love is not simply available to a select few. You know, God's love is not limited to a select few. You know, it's not limited to those with a certain skin color or born on a certain continent. It's not limited to the financial wizards or the intellectual elite or the financial wizards. No, God's love is accessible to anyone and everyone who, what? Believes in him, right? Who believes in him. There's this wonderful book by James Van Tholen. The book is called Where All Hope Lies. And he gets right at the heart of God's, the accessibility of God's love when he wrote this. He said, from a human perspective, when you compare God to the other gods of the other religions of the world, you have to say that our God is really sort of odd. He uses the most common people, people that aren't any different than you and me, right here. He comes in the most common of ways, when by his spirit an anonymous young woman is found to be with child. But the strangest thing of all about our God is that he comes at all. He's not some far away, distant God. This God's love for us is so immense that he wanted to come down. He has proven his love by the fact that he did come down and touch our ground. I love that. You know, that God is not some far off, distant God who lives in a galaxy far, far away, you know. But God is come and has been willing to enter into this world that he made where we are. And then, when he came in Jesus and then he ascended to be back with his Father, what did he do? But he sent down his Holy Spirit to live in the hearts of all who would believe in him. That is an incredible God. And his love for you and for me is accessible. It's accessible. It's a free gift. And all we have to do is accept the gift. That is an amazing God. All right, so God's love is unconditional. God's love for us is sacrificial and valuable and personal and accessible. And number six, God's love for you is delivering. God's love for you is delivering. Here's the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, let's read, shall not perish. That's right, shall not perish. What's this mean? It means that God's goal in coming in Jesus from heaven to earth was not to rebuke you, but to rescue you. He didn't come to criticize you. He came to cleanse you. He didn't come to punish you. He came to pardon you. He didn't come to destroy you. He came to deliver you. This is the promise of God for us, that God has come so we shall not perish, not to rebuke you, but to rescue you. This is the promise of God. And it's right at the very heart of who God is. He loves you just that much. Okay, here we are with number 7, and it's this right here. God's love for you is forever. God's love for you is forever. Matter of fact, we'll finish reading the scripture. We're going to say it all together one more time, starting with 4. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I'm going to tell you 2 quick stories and then I'm going to be off. That's this. First story. There was a young sociology professor at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. This was about 50 years ago, just over 50 years ago. And in his class, he asked his students to go into downtown Baltimore, to the poorest neighborhoods in downtown Baltimore, and to interview 200 students, 200 young men and women in downtown Baltimore, the poorest neighborhoods. And then the class, after the interview, the class was to predict their future. Now, the class predicted after the interviews of these 200 men and women in downtown Baltimore in the poorest, or I should say kids really, or teenagers, in the poorest area of Baltimore, the class predicted that 90% of them would spend time in prison. Now, 25 years later, same sociology professor asked that class 25 years later to track down, as best they could, track down the 200 students that the class 25 years earlier had interviewed, and then find out what the result was. Did their prediction come true? Well, believe it or not, they were able to track down 180 of the 200 students that they had interviewed 25 years earlier. And what they had discovered was shocking, actually, to the class, because they had discovered that only 4 of them had spent time in jail. Out of the 180, 4 of them had spent time in jail. And they wondered, now, okay, well, why in the world was their prediction so far off? 25 years ago, they were expected by the prediction that 90% of them would spend time in jail, yet only 4 of them had. What was the problem caused their prediction to be off? And they found this. They found that about 115 of them had one thing in common, one thing particularly in common, and that is they had all been in one particular teacher's class. And so they said, we've got to find this teacher. Well, they found her. Her name was Sheila O'Rourke. She was living in Memphis, Tennessee, in a nursing home. They went to Memphis, interviewed her, told her about the study, told them about what the prediction was and how wrong it had been. And the one thing that they could trace is that they all had her class. And here's what she said. She said, all I can tell you is this, that the only thing I ever did was I loved on each one of them. I loved on each one of them. You know, and I think about that, and I say, well, you know, that's really the power of love. And if you can imagine, if those are the results of being loved by an imperfect human love, what must the result be in our lives when we know that we know that we know that we have been loved by an incredible, awesome, divine love of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Changes life. The class discovered that those students had a life outside of prison because, one of the big reasons, because this teacher loved on them. But when we are loved by the incredible, awesome, overwhelming love of Jesus Christ, we get eternal life. Loved beyond anything we can think of and anything we can imagine. Closing story. There was a true story, too. There was a young man who had argued greatly with his father, and his father kicked him out of the house. Never come back here. You are not welcome in my home again. I never want to see you as long as I live. Well, the boy packed his stuff and he left and was gone for years. But over those years, he had been corresponding with his mom. And finally, his mom said, you know, son, I want you to come home. Please come home. You need to come home. I want to see you. And he said, I can't come home. Dad won't let me come home. And I'm afraid that if I do come home, we'll just get into another argument and he's going to kick me out again and I can't take the rejection all over again. And mom said, look, I will talk to Dad. You get in the car and you start driving toward home. And I will talk to Dad. And since it's going to take a couple of days for you to get here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, if it's safe for you to come home and stop, I'm going to tie a white cloth around a tree that's growing in the front yard. If you see the white cloth, you stop. If you don't see the white cloth, you need to keep on driving. And so boy got in the car and he started heading toward where he grew up, and he brought a friend with him. He was so afraid that he would be brokenhearted if there was no cloth on that tree or if something were to happen. He said, I just need to make sure there's somebody with me. So he and his buddy got in the car and started driving toward home. When they got toward the street, the guy who was coming home said to his buddy, I can't bear to look. I'm not going to look toward my house. I'm going to keep my eyes in the center of the road and toward the other side. But if you would please roll down your window and let me know if there is a cloth on that tree. So they drove down the street, and he said, can you see anything? Can you see anything? He said, yeah. He said, is there cloth on the tree? And his buddy was silent for a moment, and he said, is there a cloth on the tree? And he said, Todd, there is a cloth on every limb of that tree. And I tell you that story to tell you this. In a way, Jesus is God's white cloth that he tied on a tree like that to show you just how much you're loved. That he was willing to give, and he was willing to give his one and only, and he was willing to give his son. And he was willing to make it accessible so that whoever believes, and he's willing to deliver us by that we shall not perish. He didn't come to rebuke us, he came to rescue us. And he came so that we may know his love never ends, forever and ever and ever. Do you get that? Good. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. You are an amazing God who never fails us. We just simply give you thanks and praise for all the ways that you bless us. We ask right now, Lord, that you would do what you do best. Transform our hearts and our minds and our lives so that we may look and act more like you. May we be your hands and feet in the world. May we experience the freeing and saving love of Jesus Christ. And for anyone here who is yet to experience that freeing and saving love, I pray that they may open their hearts to you today, because they will never be loved like that in their lives. In the holy name of Christ we pray, amen. We're going to invite our ushers to come forward as we have the privilege of being in worship through our financial gift. God is so good to us, and he's asked us, he's worthy of all we are and all that we have. And so he's asked us for his tithes and our offerings. God bless you, everybody. Amen.